You love podcasts, the stories, the laughs, the unexpected turns. But when this episode ends, the silence starts. Not anymore. Audiobooks.com turns that silence into your next great adventure. With over 450,000 titles, from bestsellers to hidden gems, your love for listening just found its new best friend. And because you already know the joy of audio, we're giving you 3 free audiobooks to start your journey. Imagine your favorite podcast, now with unlimited episodes. That's audiobooks.com. Keep the story going. Sign up for your free trial at audiobooks.com/podcastfree today. Because for podcast lovers like you, the end of an episode is just the beginning. That's audiobooks.com/podcastfree.
Welcome to another episode of The Suspendables with funny man Jungle Jim Jerome and retired NHL star Russ Cortinel. Each week they unleash their raw, stripped-down, unfiltered opinions on all things hockey and maybe other stuff too. Who knows? Inside stories, absolutely. Outrage, guaranteed. Offside, for sure. And always plenty of laughs. Strap in. The Suspendables is coming at you right now.
Could the shows really get better? Absolutely. According to me, they can. Hi again, everybody. Welcome to The Suspendables. Coming up on today's show, Leipzig, Washington Capitals. Not good. Not good. Absolutely carving players and wives. A new one. How'd that go for you? Also, Rusty does his stand-up comedy routine. I didn't think he was that good. His favorite trip and my favorite trip and my mother was absolutely priceless. More stories from her. Rick Tocchet, when he came back from his suspension, absolute relentless carving when he returned. Bailouts, COVID, and the NHL coming back. That and much, much more coming up on today's show. Okay. Here we go, everybody. Jungle Jim Jerome coming out with another episode of The Suspendables with my running mate, Russ Cortinel. The reason I'm laughing, are you there, Russ, or did you have to run back to the fridge?
No, I pre-ordered.
The reason I'm laughing is, you know, we're chatting a little bit before the show. You know, what do you want to talk about? And all of a sudden, I hear from Russ. I thought maybe one of your kids or your wife got run over by a car because I hear this and go, oh, Jesus. Oh, fuck. Oh, I go, oh, my God, what happened? Russ went, holy shit. What the fuck? What happened? Oh, I spilt my White Claw.
Almost spilt
my White Claw. Yeah. I thought someone got sniped, man.
Hold the press.
How are you doing?
I'm doing good. We had a great family day yesterday for Mother's Day, and we were sitting around talking. We hadn't been together for Mother's Day for probably 10 or 12 years, all of us together, so it was a nice day.
And who's all, like, who's everybody now?
Well, all the kids, so it was...
Three, yeah.
Allie and Eric cooked dinner, and my oldest and her NFL boyfriend, and then Lawton and his girlfriend are still here. They've been here for 6 weeks, and Brooklyn and Paris and I, so it was great. It was a really nice night. Day, yeah, good. Night, Sunday, yeah. Fun day.
Good, and your mother, Russ, is still with us?
Yeah, she doesn't know who we are anymore, though. It's sad.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
She's stricken with Alzheimer's?
Yeah, so it's sad. But she, my brothers send me pictures, and then if they get her out of her home, they'll FaceTime me or whatever. But yeah, that sucks.
Sorry to hear that.
Yeah.
And she's up in Victoria?
Yeah, she's in Victoria.
And your two brothers are there as well, right? Jeff is in Victoria?
Jeff's in Vancouver and Bruce is in Victoria.
And your brother Bruce, I remember a long time ago we got a couple emails, people saying, what about that third brother, Bruce? What does he do, Russ? How does he spend his time?
So he played junior hockey in the Western Hockey League and then quit playing when he was 20, and he got into sales. And he started out with night signs, selling storefront signs, illuminated signs, and then he got into financial planning for managing money for 20 years probably, and now he's joined Discovery Land Company, the company I work for, and he's going to be selling property for them. So
in Victoria?
In Victoria, a property called James Island. It's our newest project, and we're hoping to get subdivision soon so we can start selling real estate. But it's the newest property.
Very good.
Hang on one sec, Jim. Yep. Lawton, yeah. We're picking up all the...
I'm going to my room.
Okay.
You know, you talk about your kids, Lawton, there, you just send them to his room. Or you said, I'm going... They probably want to go to their room. They probably come home and, oh, Dad's home. I'm going to my room. It's a self-punishment. Of course, he's playing college hockey. And your daughter, Allie, as everybody knows now, we fall in love with Allie and Eric. She goes out with Eric Kendricks, mm-hmm. who's... plays for the Vikings. And what's your other daughter doing, Russ, as we do this family catch-up?
She is homeschooling.
Serving booze?
Yeah, no. She will if I ask her. But
good kid.
Great kid. She's down here. We call it she's a junior in high school up there. It's 11th grade. And they're doing all their home work online. So she's... increased her grades. She's quite happy, and she's a soccer player and a track athlete, and she's gonna be following her sister like Allie. She's gonna go to college and play soccer and then run track and try to do both, but she's a busy girl.
My kids are, as I hear that, my kids are massive underachievers, I think. we get a little surprise. I found this today. Stevie sent me this, our producer. Because not only are your kids super athletic, your daughter Allie, of course, is. I see her on Instagram and stuff. She's mm-hmm. does this workout thing that army wouldn't do, man. Oh, my God.
She is
that, and she's a model. And so... we have this clip of her. Not only is she all those things, but she's a singer. Mm-hmm. And we found this clip of her singing the national anthem at one of her soccer games.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, Stevie, give us a little bit of that.
For the land of the free and the
Well, there you have it. Your daughter pelting out I'll sing the anthem, coach. Throw me the mic, okay? I'll do that. I think that's a few years ago.
Yeah.
just throw that on the heap of these things your kids can do. So you had them all over for Mother's Day. That's great. My mom, God bless her, she died in 2012. But she was... My mother was hilarious, okay? She was absolutely hilarious. And when my wife met my mother, she sort of came away the first time and went, well, your mother's a little different, isn't she? And years later, you know, we moved to Ottawa, and my wife was pregnant with our first daughter. She's 23 now, so that's how long ago it is. And my mom was a class A drinker, Russ, okay? She was like you, great drinker, okay? Really strong drinker. And she loved her wine. Mm-hmm. And
I love her already.
Yeah. So, and her scotch, you know, and the only thing she didn't do, Russ, is smoke cigars. So my wife and I show up there for dinner. We lived in Ottawa. We come over for dinner, and my wife's pregnant, and my mother's pouring wine for everyone, right? And pours a glass for my ex-wife, Allison, and shoves it in front of her, goes, here you go. Here's a nice glass of red, you know, and Allison sort of pushes it back and says, no, Mrs. Jerome, I'm pregnant, you know, which she was being sarcastic. Of course, she knew she was pregnant. And my mom pushes it back towards her and goes, oh, for God's sakes, pregnant schmegment, just have a glass of wine, right? And my mom goes on, when we were pregnant, you know, you're a little younger than me. And my mom's going, we were pregnant. We drank, we smoked cigarettes, we fucking drank gin and wine. No one gave a crap about it. Just have a glass of wine, you know. And Allison says no. And dinner goes on and we get back in the car after dinner. And Allison turns to me and says, you have fetal alcohol syndrome.
Oh, my God.
I'm not making fun of that, but it was priceless. Anyway, happy Mother's Day to my mom. And when she was on her deathbed, literally in a home, convalescent home, and she was really funny. And you know, she only had a few weeks to go, and it's just a really surreal situation when you're in that. And I said, Mom, do you know what's happening? Because she was kind of losing her mind with all the morphine and stuff. And she said, yeah, I know what's happening. The doctor came. I got cancer, and I've got 3 weeks to live. I said, yeah, you know, and sort of through these tears, I'm crying a little bit. And my mom says, but I need you to do me a favor. I said, whatever, Mom. Sure, whatever, name it. You know, and she goes, I want you to find that doctor and get him back in here. He's got to give me at least 2 more months. I have a lot of apology letters to write.
Isn't that great? Good. That is great.
I love. She was absolutely hilarious. You would have loved her, Russ, if you met her. Like all our mothers were fantastic, and my mom was no exception. People loved her, and of course I loved her. She's been gone a long time now, but happy Mother's Day.
Yeah. Well, I got this from my buddy Jim Hill in Denver. He's a Canadian who moved down to the U.S., big real estate guy and a great friend from, I sold him a place at McKenna, but he sent me this. I'll read it. It said, Jewish and Italian mothers. Jewish mother. The year is 2024 and the United States has elected the first woman as well as the first Jewish president, Susan Goldstein. Mm-hmm. She calls up her mother a few weeks after the election and says, Mom, I assume you'll be coming to my inauguration. I don't think so. It's a 10-hour drive. Your father isn't as young as he used to be, and my arthritis is acting up again. Don't worry about it, Mom. I'll send Air Force One to pick you up and take you home, and a limousine will pick you up at your door. I don't know. Everybody will be so fancy schmancy. What on earth would I wear? Susan replies, I'll make sure you have a wonderful gown custom made by the best designer in New York. Honey, Mom complains, you know I can't eat those rich foods you and your friends like to eat. The president-to-be responds, don't worry, Mom. The entire affair is going to be handled by the best caterer in New York, kosher all the way. Mom, I really want you to come. So Mom reluctantly agrees, and on January 20th, 25, Susan Goldstein being sworn in as president of the United States in front of Rose. In the front row sits the new president's mother, who leans over to a senator sitting next to her and says, you see that woman over there with her hand on the Torah becoming the president of the United States? The senator whispers back, yes, I do. Mom says proudly, her brother is a doctor. The Italian mother, Giuseppe, excitedly tells his mother he's fallen in love and that he's going to get married. He says, just for fun, Mama, I'm going to bring over 3 women and you try and guess which one I'm going to marry. The mother agrees. The next day, he brings over 3 beautiful women into the house, sits them down on the couch. They chat for a while. He then says, okay, Mama, guess which one I'm going to marry? Mama says immediately, the one on the right. That's amazing, Mama. You're right. How did you know? Mama replies, I don't like her.
We've started a new segment, man. Oh, this is great. Her brother's a doctor.
Thanks, Jim Hill.
You know, when you say to me, you know, like in radio, man, there's just, you know, it's, sometimes your heart drops a little bit, right? And when you go, hey, Jimmy, I got a great joke about a Jewish and an Italian mother. Should I unload it on everyone? I'm like, Fantastic. You know, it reminds me of another great joke that my dad used to tell. He said, where the guy's on his deathbed, you know, and his wife's with him. And he says, you know, honey, you know, get a little closer. I want to tell you something. You know, you're all my life, you've been by my side. My entire life, you've been by my side. this is the Jewish husband, okay? And all my life, you've been by my side, honey, you know. And he says, when our house went down, my God, you stayed with me. You were by my side. When we lost our voice business, God bless you, stayed with me by my side. When we had that terrible tragedy in the family, with me the whole time. Come here, honey. I want to tell you something. You're a fucking jinx.
Oh, gosh.
Oh, we digress. I love that. Stories today. The Leipzig story, we got to talk about the kid from Washington.
Oh, boy.
Got in all sorts of trouble. The other one, Russ, is you're a Canadian guy. The CFL is looking for a bailout, $150 million. I made a note here. I better ask Russ what he thinks about all this stuff with bailouts with teams and that sort of jazz. We're going to talk about that. And I don't know what the best trip was, Russ, you've ever been on in your life. But I'll tell you one of the best ones I was on. I got a buddy of mine, lifelong buddy of mine since I lived in Edmonton, Johnny Boucher. He's a great guy. He'll do anything for you. I've been painting my house, as you know, for about fucking 6 years now. He's amongst other things, he's a professional painter, and he came over here to help me paint my house. He's here now, as a matter of fact. But him and I went on a trip to Scotland. The way we got to know each other was through the CFL. There used to be a group of people from Edmonton who would go to the Grey Cup every year and have a what started as a party 40 years ago is now a full-on organized fucking three nights in a big hotel and stuff like that. And Johnny and I go back, and we had an amazing time in those days. Those were one of the best parties I ever went to. But we ended up going to Scotland and played golf at St. Andrews and Muirfield and Carnoustie. It was absolutely the best trip I've ever been on in my life. Yes, folks, it doesn't include my kids. You've been on some great trips, but this one, Johnny's a historian, okay, golf historian, and we started crying when we landed in Scotland, okay, the two of us on this trip, and I thought, well, Johnny started crying first. I said, what's wrong, man? He goes, I can't believe I'm here, you know, I can't believe I'm in Scotland. I finally, you know, my whole life I've been here, and he was just overwhelmed, you know. We stayed right on the 18th hole of the Old Course. And Johnny kept tearing up all the time, you know. And I, like you, thought, okay, how can I turn this into a prank? Okay. So
oh my God.
He was staring out of the room, you know, looking over the 18th hole at the Old Course. And the next day, my buddy is a member of the Old Course. That's how we ended up going. And we had the president's tea time, okay, at 9 o'clock, a Friday morning on the Old Course, teeing it up. And there we were, standing on the first tee, and I could see my buddy Johnny sort of tightening up again a little bit, getting a little flushed, and he's trying to hold it together. You know, he's just is completely beyond himself that he's there. And I went and flipped the guy a couple of pounds, and the official announcer of the tee times, of the guy who does the open, okay,
yeah,
who announces the tee times. Johnny's over the ball, and then before he hits it, just about to take the club back, he hears, from Canada, John Boucher. Fuck, the club goes flying in the air. He goes, you gotta stop. Anyway, God bless my buddy Johnny. But that was one of the best trips I've ever been on. How about you, Rusty?
Oh, that same year during the lockout, Gretz took Paul Coffey, Rick Tockett, and I to Nevis with our wives. That was a great trip. I don't know. I've been on...
Where's Nevis?
Nevis in the Caribbean.
Oh, cool. Cool. You bring up Brett Hall there on that trip, and what was amazing... Well, everyone knows Brett Hall. They know his reputation. Certainly as a fantastic hockey player, and then as an outspoken guy. And he didn't disappoint when his team, St. Louis, won the Stanley Cup. And we all know by now he got up on the mic a few deep. And well, you got to look it up on YouTube. I don't want to give it away what he did, but it totally endeared me to him more when he did that. This tournament, so when you talk about they tee it out, it was an incredible tournament because they had to move 4,000 and 5,000 people from hole to hole, right? It was the only game in town, so they had this highly organized thing with marshals. And you stood up in the first tee, and looking down each side of the fairway, the ropes were pinched in.
Yeah, like every pro event, like pro meaning professional golfers, not three amateurs.
And Wayne gets up there, and he's, you know, we announce him teeing off, and he goes, "I'm gonna crown someone here in the head. You know? I can't do this, you know."
Yeah.
And he almost didn't want to hit. Said, "Look at." Let me walk my ball out to the fairway or something.
Yeah,
or of course, and everyone's thinking the same thing, except Brett Hull. Brett tees it up and goes like, "I don't give a fuck."
Right? Well, and he's a good golfer to boot, right? Him and Mario are like scratch golfers, so they didn't have a problem.
Yeah, he was. Anyway, love Hully. Speaking of Brett Hull, we'll back up for a second. Brendan Leipzig, 25-year-old with the Washington Capitals, not a great player. Any shot that he had with them, I think this year left when they re-signed Ilya Kovalchuk. Right, came to Washington. However, so no one really knew who he was until this week.
Oh my God!
So the dude gets on a group chat with some buddies, including another player from, I believe, Vancouver. And I think his brother was in there maybe too. And they're shooting the shit. And then Leipzig drops a rip about a guy's wife. And that's who it was. I think the player's wife, the kid, was in Vancouver. And then that goes on to another conversation about Connor McDavid's girlfriend. Apparently drops the C word, and this thing goes viral. Somehow it gets hacked, and the word gets out, and the trollers weigh in, okay? Doesn't go well for this guy.
No.
Doesn't go well.
I don't think it got hacked, by the way. I think someone just shared it with...
Shared it. Yeah. And then, of course I want to hear what you have to say, and then the Capitals and the league commissioner weighs in and says, "We'll be looking into this."
Yeah.
We don't characterize ourselves this way is always their statement. And the league said, "We're going to do a full investigation," or they're going to coordinate with the Capitals, and the Capitals say, "We're going to investigate this." And whammo, whammo, several hours later, released, put on waivers, and they're not going to re-sign them because of that. So what do you think, Russ?
Well, in this day and age, I mean, what he was saying, it was just not acceptable. It's not acceptable ever. But what Brett Hull said was, "We used to always say these things, but with social media or something like that, you can't get away with it. It's no more fun." Well, we always used to joke in the locker room, the only thing, that you weren't allowed to rip anyone for, the only people protected were your kids. You can't say anything about any other player or your player's kids, but everybody else is, you know, game on. And guys used to say stuff. I mean, they, you know, and a lot of it was joking amongst teammates, teasing and all that stuff. But your opponent, you know, you'd find out any dirt you could to rip guys. You know,
right.
If you did something wrong, man, the when the whistle was blown between periods, or between play, the stuff that came out of the bench off the bench to players was phenomenal.
Sure.
Was phenomenal.
Award winning, man.
Oh my God! And both benches would laugh. You know, you'd catch somebody and they'd be like, "Yeah, if the guy was embarrassed, the only and it was true, he would just go, 'F you,' you know." you knew you had him.
Sure.
Oh my God! But but this is public, and you know, there's the fans pay to watch these guys play, and in any sport, and when they cross the line that the league has to step in and say, you know what, you can't get out, that's just not acceptable. And it wasn't, and so he's paying a heavy price for trying to be funny or whatever he was trying to do. You know, he was being mean-spirited and it ruined whatever chance he probably had of a future in the NHL. I had a player who plays in the NHL text me and said, what about this guy? You know, and named him, and I've never heard of this kid. Mm-hmm. And I said, what did he do? And he goes, oh my God, just Google his name. And I did. And I went, oh my. And he goes, he's done. He'll never play for another team in the NHL. He's completely done. No one will want him. No one will want to play with him. I heard he was ripping his own teammate, his line mates.
Yeah, I called a couple guys losers on the team.
Oh my gosh. So who's gonna sign somebody who's not only making fun of women, you know, and then it's publicized, and then he's ripping his own team in line.
Right.
I mean,
right.
Boy.
Here's the deal, Russ.
Hopefully he's got a big farm in Canada and he can drive a tractor, because that's what he's going to be doing.
He's going to be alone. Listen, Russ. I think it's almost this kid gets fired effectively from his job. Okay, he's gonna gets let go because of this. The team's not gonna make any bones about it. That's what the deal is. And I almost think it's wrongful dismissal, man. I don't give a shit, Russ. I've heard what this guy has said. You even alluded to yourself the stuff we used to say in rip players, you know, and have fun. And sometimes it ends up being mean spirited a little bit. Not everyone can take it, but shit is said all the time, Russ. To this day, shit's said all the time. And I don't believe that guys should be lose their jobs and their livelihood over it. The kid made a mistake. He did come back on and say, you know, his apologies about it and he regrets and hope he learns from it. But this day and age, you're done. You're done. And yeah. I think it's wrong. And the shit I've said, you know, the only reason this is a problem, Russ, is like,
hence, you're living in a freaking one-bedroom apartment. Anyways, go on.
Alone.
Alone.
It's because the guy got caught, you know? He sort of got caught in this thing. And you know, everything's fine until I disagree with what you say. And now, you know, so if people begin to disagree with it, you're hooped. You're absolutely hooped. Is there any part of you, Rusty, at all that thinks this is unfair, what's happening to the guy?
Well, I think it's just a price you got to pay when you're a public figure, that whether you're a politician or CEO of a company, or and people find out and then they say, oh, we're going to boycott your product. The league is in charge of selling tickets and putting out an awesome product for people to enjoy, a family product. So how do they back that when you're sitting there watching a game and this guy's berated a woman for being heavy and you're sitting there with your daughter who may be overweight and she now knows about this kid you know, that said these awful things and this guy I don't know who he is. I don't know where he lives. And he said these things in a private group, but now it's public.
Right.
And so everybody knows about it. And he didn't have the intent to tell the world about all these people he was talking about, but now it's out there. How do you just say, oh, okay, you know, nobody should have heard that. He's okay. I don't know.
Here's the only reason I think it happens, Russ. Listen, I've done events for you too, right? And we've sat down ahead of time, and you've said, "Okay, listen, Scooter, I've seen you fucking go wild here. What are you going to say when you get up there?
Yeah,
and who are you going to rip?
Yeah,
right? Because we're Canadian, we do it. It makes it fun. And I said, "Here's what I'm going to do about this," and you're like, "No, you're not. Okay, you're not doing that."
You know who's laughing right now, listening to this, is James Brown, our buddy.
JB from Chicago?
JB, yeah. He texts me and loves the show. He's probably just laughing his ass off right now because he's seen all your stand-up shit at our event and Gretz's event. And he's probably going, I've seen it all. I've heard it all.
Yeah.
So, and he's a big hockey fan, too, so I wonder what he thinks about it.
I know what he thinks about it. I know. Yeah. I know JB. You know, I just don't think the guy should have lost his job over it. You know.
Yeah, it's a tough one. It's like the guy who got caught when we talked about, I don't know what episode it was, when the guy who got his wife found the video of him and his girlfriend and had the dildo, and he didn't lose his job, but every time he stepped on the ice, they fired dildos at him.
That's great. The reason
there's a price to pay. He's paying.
Dad,
it.
What are they throwing on the ice? They're hot dogs, kids. They're
okay. We're gonna go to the game about 5 minutes into the first period because I don't want you to see all the hot dogs they're throwing on the ice.
The submarine sandwiches. Yeah,
submarine sandwiches. I don't want you to get hurt.
And all the men are going, "Oh my God, look at that one! Holy Jesus!
Hey, don't throw those away."
Who's taking that?
Let's recycle those bad boys.
Yeah.
A parting gift as you leave the arena here.
Anyway, we can never stay too serious for too long. Anyway, the reason the guy gets let go, Russ, is because of cash. You know, as soon as a network, okay, as soon as the broadcasting network of the NHL or the Washington Capitals comes forward and says, hey, you got to get rid of that guy.
Don Cherry. That's why he lost his job. Same thing.
Yeah, Jeremy Roenick, right?
So when you know, hang on a second, though. When you know now, like if you're the first guy that this happens to, I get it. You're like, come on, really? And then this kid saw Jeremy Roenick lose his job, Don Cherry, and then he did this thinking, you know, when you... He sent this out. He probably was talking to somebody. Obviously, some buddies. They shared it with somebody. Screenshotted it. Sent it to somebody. They showed their wife, girlfriend, or somebody who doesn't like them, and then it went viral. But when you know the rules of the game and you break the rules, then you know,
take your chances. You pay your money. Yeah.
If you're saying that shit and it gets out, you're going to lose, you know you're going to lose your job, you know, shame on him.
Yeah, it's like...
And I feel bad for the... I feel bad that anyone loses their job, but when you know the rules of the game...
Yeah.
And the game of life is, you know, the social media stuff, man.
Yeah, like if you were the... You know, I can only think, if you were the manager of that team, and I mean you personally, I see you as pulling the guy aside and go, okay, look, you get a pass here. Okay, you got to go online. You got to apologize, blah, blah, blah. But I don't see you taking a guy down. You've been in the league. And the only reason I think it happens is if you said, you know, if you were with Discovery Properties and that happened, and then they were a sponsor and they came forward and said, look, we don't want to be part of this, right? We can't. It's too valuable. So I think it's a money thing, you know. Before we leave this one, when you're talking about ripping guys and how funny guys are going to be, when you brought up this thing about, God forbid, okay, if you're on a hockey team, God forbid if you make a mistake, okay, because the guys are going to kill you. The best one ever, Rusty, and that's where I knew you fell in love with me, because Rick Tocchet, of course, who got in trouble with the gambling years ago, okay, whether it was at fault or not, that's here nor there, right? I'm on Rick's side of that thing, but we're not going into those details. Anyway, the end result is he gets suspended for a year from going into any building, okay, in the NHL. So the one-year anniversary is coming up that he's going to be allowed back in buildings, and it happens to be in Phoenix during Wayne's fantasy camp, okay? And of course, the fantasy camp, the games are played up in Glendale at the Big New Arena, and Tocchet gets to come back that weekend, you know, and it's in January, and I'm behind in a room laughing my head off, and you're walking by, and you look at me and say, "What's up?" I said, "Well, I'm just thinking about my introduction for Rick Tocchet, who's in the room tonight."
Yeah.
Anyway, what happens is, I get up on stage. I've got a. Wayne's giving me the warning here. What are you going to do about Tocchet? I said, don't worry, Wayne. I'll mention it. He goes, what are you going to mention? I said, don't worry about it. Okay. Don't worry. Don't panic. It'll be fine. He goes, Jimmy, you know, with the two fingers in his eyes, look at me. What? You know?
Yeah.
I said, you'll be fine. Don't worry about it. So what happens is I said, we want to surprise you with this thing. We're going to get you to do a presentation to Rick. And he's going, oh, okay. Okay. Good. Good. So we've got the tripod up there like an easel, which looks like it's a painting underneath with a curtain over it. Okay. And I jump up there and go, listen, it's, Rick, talk it. Good to have you back. And people are doing a standing ovation. And we can't believe it. You've been through a terrible time. We're all behind you 100%. And would you mind coming forward? And Wayne, would you come forward? We'd like to make a little presentation to Rick. And I whip the cloth back up over the easel, and it's a Super Bowl pool. Okay, I got... Oh, I got God. Like the one team down the side, Jesus. The other on the top, and I'm going, so how do you do this, Rick? We've consulted the Talkit and Lieberman. How do you do these super? And Wayne's just like, oh my God. But the guys loved it.
I thought you were going to tell the story of his office. And
yes, well, that as well.
Marty McSorley, and I don't know who else, it was a glass, so there was a door and a glass wall. And they put black tape up, and it made it look like a jail cell.
Oh, it was great. It was hilarious.
Oh, my God. It was like, oh.
You know what else they did? So poor Talk walks in the building, and there's bars, you know, jail bars they made on the top with a welcome back. He goes into his coach's room, right, because he was on the coaching staff, and they have on his dry erase board, okay, meal of the, you know.
The schedule of the day, right?
Yeah, movie of the day is Escape from Alcatraz. Yeah. The meal is bread and water. And three numbers you should keep your hands on. And it's like Skippy the bookie, you know, Loopy the lefty, and all this stuff.
It oh, was, yeah. 4 o'clock meeting with my parole officer.
Everything. It was like full hilarious.
Peter Sobota, I think I've told the story. I could tell it again since we're on teasing.
Yeah.
So Peter Sobota has two beautiful daughters.
Right.
And so his wife is pregnant with the second girl, and it was in the 80s, and he might have known what they're having, but guys didn't really check back then. So they're like teasing him, going, Peter, it takes a man to make a man. You know, you have a girl, hopefully you're going to have a boy. And so they teased him so hard that when he came in after having their second child, they said, Peter, what'd you have? And he goes, I had a boy. Freaking lied because he didn't want to get harassed.
And like, oh, no.
24 hours later, all the wives knew they had another daughter, and they're all the guys are waiting for him at practice, and he comes in and they're like, you asshole, you had another girl. But that's how hard guys got teased. I mean, the locker room is, I remember walking in the middle of the room in New York, and I had blue suede shoes on, and Glenn Healy said, turn the music off, Russ, stop right there, and just rip me
for
like 3 minutes.
Oh, yeah.
I was wearing blue suede shoes, called me Elvis the rest of the week.
Yeah, exactly. You know, like you cannot get away with that. And you know, you've been through this because I have too with guys. I hang out with guys like you where you get out of your car and you're walking in, and maybe you got a sort of different shirt on, and you stop and go, no, fuck it. This is not going to go well. I want to change. You know, it's like, I know guys who, hockey guys, where a guy shows up and he's got the new suit, Russ, you know, you can tell he's got a new suit, and, and buddy will say, hey, you know, looks like you got a new suit there. And the guy goes, yeah, absolutely. You know, he goes, what is it, Armani? Or no, custom, tailored. And he goes, wow, what do you pay for that? The guy goes, well, it's, you know, back $2,500. He goes, oh, do you get 80 pairs of pants with that? Just one after another, you know. Anyway, we digress and Rick, talk at what, you know, before the, what we want to talk about, you know, COVID is still here. The AHL has canceled their season,
mm-hmm.
but now we're starting to drift into talk about hockey coming back. They're going to do a, you know, golf is, they're going to do an exhibition. Dustin Johnson, Rory, you're going to play Chris, Ricky Fowler and Matthew Wolf, another long baller. So stuff's starting to come in, Russ. And, I got a question for you about the league if they do, and when they do, they will, of course. So what teams, Russ, do you believe will have the most trouble if when they come back, you know, rebounding from this pandemic? Which markets do you think are going to be in the most trouble with trying to regroup from this thing?
It's simple. The ones who have the most debt.
So you think purely it'll be financial, the team that struggles, or is there anything that makes you think that teams aren't sort of ready for it?
Well, look at the CFL looking for $150 million bailout. I mean, that blankets the whole league. I would say that in any business, the teams with the most money are going to be, you know, they'll be fine. And the ones that are, you know, need that revenue every month from tickets and the arena being used are going to struggle. And it's really, you know, we don't know and we'll find out.
That's sort of the sad state, isn't it?
Yeah, it's, you know, I've got some friends in the restaurant business and it's just terrible right now that they're, you know, look, they're doing takeout. Like one friend owns a bunch of restaurants and he's doing 20% of what he normally does on.
Right.
And that's just through takeout. So the pro teams, how is that going to work for, you know, just, you know, ticket sales and.
Right. The question is, you bring up the CFL who's got their hand out. They want $150 million. Everyone thought the CFL was fine. You know, all of us on the outside a little bit. No one's ever heard anything problem with it. It goes on year after year, whether you like it or not. No debate here about NFL or CFL. The CFL's been around for hundreds of years, and now it looks like they must be in trouble. If you're, mm-hmm. you know, it wouldn't be so bad, Russ. They go, well, we need $30 million, right? And yeah. You go, okay. Well, they're looking, you know, they're going to be fine, but they want $150 million, so they could be in trouble. You bring this up about NHL teams are going to be in trouble. What's your take, Russ, on how much assistance they should get when you bring up many, many people are in line with businesses? Small business guy, restaurant, big corporate guy, you know, teachers, everybody else, layoffs all across the country and all across the world. How much are sports leagues entitled to get, Russ?
Well, I think, first of all, it's over my pay grade, but they employ a lot of people. We used to say when I lived through a few lockouts when I played, and some people who call them strikes, but we never striked. We were locked out. And mm-hmm. when those lockouts happen, you're amazed at how many people were affected, from the employees who worked the games, then the taxi cab drivers, the local restaurants and bars that all get affected. So the teams, I don't know how it works with paying or not paying players. So are they talking about, what are they talking about, assistance for what? And I think that'll be determined, how they do get assistance. What does that assistance mean? And I don't know. Mm-hmm. I really don't know. I don't know where that money would go, you know? So
I will,
tough question.
Yeah, I will say this. This thing's been around now for a couple of months. I don't see the end of it yet. Some people disagree, but I will say this. In the world of sports, they were the first people to step up and look after their employees. It happened. It was sweeping.
And the players, which was great.
And the players, you know, so hats off to them.
And Jimmy, who wouldn't? They're making a lot of money, right? And they can afford to help out. And there's a lot of people out there who want to do do great things and do nice things, and they just can't. So right. The players, you got to give credit to the players and the owners that did help out because they can. And it's not because people don't want to. It's just they're not unable. They got to look after their families. Lady in Texas got arrested for keeping her salon open, thrown in jail. And she's like, I had to feed my kids. And then the governor steps in to release her because he's like, you can't do this. And right. Some judge is like, no, you're, you know, following rules. And people are trying. They're trying to do the right thing if they can. And some people can't.
Right. I hope it doesn't get worse. You know, shit. Obviously.
Nobody does.
That desperation takes over and. You know, there could be some bad fallout from this thing, you know.
There'll be fallout. And my friend today, who owns a bunch of car dealerships, he's like, this is becoming unnatural. You know, waking up every day and not having an economy, like
right.
Just people not moving. And so it's, you know, people are hurting out there and people are scared and they're wanting to get back to some sort of normal life. And we're, you know, we don't know. We don't, you know, the sooner we know something's coming that is positive with, and people can, I think people are so scared now. You know, the mask thing, you got to go in a grocery store. I don't know what it's like up there, but down here in LA, everywhere you go now, you got to wear a mask to go into a store and you get near somebody in there, like it's like you're a leper. Get away from me!
Yeah, it's looser here. I'll say that. I don't know what happened since Friday, like last Thursday. We're recording here on Monday night this week, and Thursday, all of a sudden, I got to get out of my house to get essential things like smokes. Yeah, and I'm in and out, and yet the roads were packed. With
yeah.
People, like
same
out of nowhere.
Down here, the roads are packed.
Yeah, everyone's coming back from the thing. So anyway, Rusty, before we go, if you like what you're hearing today, and we'd love to hear from you, you can email us at thesuspendables.com, and we've got our own Facebook page, The Suspendables, and it's hilarious. We got a guy putting posts up there for us, and he's just doing some completely off the page, funny stuff and videos that we do. So one of our emails, Rusty, as I slip my glasses on here, is to you. This is from Leo in Estevan, Saskatchewan.
I used to play against Estevan, and in Bantam and Midget, I played for Notre Dame at Wilcox, Saskatchewan. So I was in Estevan.
Were you afraid to go in those small towns? They were always tough guys. Huh?
Estevan was a tough place, yeah.
You guys were the softies. I've found out about Notre Dame. You guys were the...
Another ND jealous guy.
Yeah, as you always say, talk to Wendell Clark, who played with us.
Yeah.
But
if you got a
tough
problem with me, look behind me. You got a bigger problem.
Yeah.
I'll see you later, pal.
Who said that? Did you make that up? I love that.
I just made it up.
Yeah, you got a problem with me, look behind me. Here we go. A lot of people are at home. This our emailer. Again, thesuspendables@yahoo.com. A lot of people at home with time are learning new skills. Some are learning an instrument, and some are even trying to learn a new language. If Russ was gifted the ability tomorrow to either speak another language fluently or be a master of any one instrument he chose or whatever he would pick, what would it be and why?
I'd love to play the piano. And I've got one right behind me. And I should have probably taken some lessons. But I love to watch people play the piano. Trevor Gretzky, who you've seen play, and you play.
I play.
And anyways, piano is a great instrument.
Well, it was great. I'll tell you what, I wish I would have played when I was younger because it is an unbelievable move with the broads.
Oh.
Okay. Oh. You sit down at a party and you're it's not going anywhere for you. You just saddle up to the piano and go,
Guitar might be a better one, though, for that, for what you're talking about, because it's pretty tough to carry a piano into a party.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. You can bring a guitar anywhere you want.
Yeah, the poor idiot who took the upright bass or the tuba.
Can you cut a bigger hole in the door? I'm bringing my instrument over tonight to the party.
The other thing, Russ, I was going to save for next week, but I want to ask you about this because I thought of it yesterday. And you know how brilliant my thoughts are, Rusty. The normal playoff format, Russ, in the NHL, with divisions and all that shit. I don't understand it anymore. I understand the way it works with wild cards and all that. But I wonder, Russ, if they have to start considering with guys flying private all the time now and chartering and planes that are freaking 10-star meals and it's no problem to fly 3, 4, or 5 hours if they have to, that they should get rid of the divisions now, Russ, and just have, you know, something way simpler. But all, you know, so there's no more divisions. You can play teams an equal amount of times, and drop all that shit that you get lucky because you're playing in this division or you play a bunch more teams more often than the others. To me, it just seems like a fucked up way to have the playoffs in the NHL.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. I like the thought of if you're, I like the thought of if you're a low seed and you knock off a team higher than you, you kind of step into their position of versus, you know, the low seed's always the low seed. And then right. The other one is just take the points and go, okay, the top team with the most amount of points plays the lowest and instead of the conference.
Of those 16 teams.
Yeah, of the 16, you throw them into a hat and you go, okay, you had 102 points and you had 84. They play against each other and the team that has 100 plays against 86. And
so get rid of the divisions. Just have the top 16 out of 31 teams or whatever it is.
I think that the fan now, they love seeing other teams. They love their team so much. I don't think they really care that they play the team they absolutely despise in their division first. That's why I'm selling real estate, not working in the league, maybe.
Right. Well, the only reason I can think, that would be a fair way to do it, okay?
Amount of points versus the least.
Right, and then, is the yeah. thing. Here's yeah. what happens. The guy in Vancouver goes, no, fuck, we will never get any playoff games, ever. We're not good enough.
No. I'm not. So we're not saying the right thing. So you still make so everybody plays in their divisions. They make it into the top 16, and then you take the points.
Oh, I see. Okay.
No, yeah. Not that. No, because that doesn't make sense. Because you got to make the playoffs the way it is currently. But once you're in, then you take whatever the top team is and the bottom team. That's how I would do it.
Okay, Rusty, you disagree with me. I might strike that. That's a bad idea, Joe. That's stupid. That playoff thing.
Well, maybe you just save it for next week.
When are you going to be able to golf again, Rusty? Are they are courses opening around there?
Yeah, we're golfing. I haven't kind of in that golf lazy mode. I know that pisses you off because you love to golf, but
yes, I do.
So you can golf at Sherwood and I think most of California. And you, if you have a disability, you can take a golf cart. If not, you got to walk. And they just came. Somebody created this little mechanism so that you don't have to touch the flag to get your ball out. So they just put them in today and you just take your putter and lift this little hook and it brings your ball out.
Listen, Russ, I designed a mechanism for that a long time ago. It's called a gimme.
Yeah. Okay? Yeah.
Just throw that back. I'm the 10 footer guy. Throw that back. You know, just throw that back. Okay. Rusty, another show in the books, my friend. You get back and look after that good wife of yours. It's never Mother's Day, Russ. It's like Mother's Week. Father's Day lasts about, I don't know, 20 minutes.
Yeah.
You know, they throw a gift at you. Here you go, Dad. And now get back out there and work. Mother's Day goes for fucking 2 weeks.
Or months.
Oh, yeah. Or all year round. Great show, Rusty. You go back to doing what you're doing. It was a two white claw show. Not bad for you.
Yeah, not bad.
unless you got another one. Have a good week, Rusty, and we'll talk to everybody next week. You've been listening to The Suspendables. Take care, everybody.
The Suspendables is a weekly hockey series with Jim Jerome in Edmonton and Russ Cortinel in L.A. A new episode every Tuesday morning on Wooshka, iTunes, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Follow The Suspendables on Facebook and Twitter. Reach us at thesuspendables@yahoo.com. And of course, we appreciate you sharing this podcast with your group of friends.
You love podcasts, the stories, the laughs, the unexpected turns. But when this episode ends, the silence starts. Not anymore. Audiobooks.com turns that silence into your next great adventure. With over 450,000 titles, from bestsellers to hidden gems, your love for listening just found its new best friend. And because you already know the joy of audio, we're giving you 3 free audiobooks to start your journey. Imagine your favorite podcast, now with unlimited episodes. That's audiobooks.com. Keep the story going. Sign up for your free trial at audiobooks.com/podcast-free today. Because for podcast lovers like you, the end of an episode is just the beginning. That's audiobooks.com/podcast-free.
If you're in business, you probably have a website, but can your site handle your growth? How many visitors before your site slows down or crashes? What about storage and data security? From web hosting to virtual servers, Pear Networks provides the online infrastructure you need to start, grow, and flourish. When it comes to security and updates, don't worry, we've got you covered. Our 24/7 US-based customer support is the best in the industry. No frustrating chatbots or sitting on hold for hours. Check out pear.com today to learn more. That's PAIR.com.